Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents on a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the program across Civic Media here in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's near west side on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, WTTN, 1580 AM. You're also listening in the Shaw. That's Waukesha, Wisconsin, on the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM. Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh. Locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Air in Amory, and radio from the center in Richland Center. If you want to join the show, share a tangent with me on this Wednesday afternoon, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. Got Evan on the production board. Thank you, Evan. And we're joined on this Wednesday afternoon by the one, the only. It's a Wednesday with William Walter. How you doing, Will?
What is up, party people? I am great. I'm here. And of course, it goes without saying that it is a lovely Wednesday afternoon because I am here.
Yeah, it's a pretty warm day here. Hitting the 40s, potentially, even, I believe. I haven't looked at the thermometer in a little bit, but
it was almost 50 at my place yesterday.
Look at that lake effect that you were taking credit for.
What lake effect? I have no idea exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly. But glad to have you with me here on the airwaves this Wednesday afternoon, Will. And glad we get to catch up, talk some of the headlines since the last time we had you on the show, and get your perspective and share some tangents with what's going on in your neck of the woods. Earlier this week, there was a Wisconsin Supreme Court forum for the four candidates running to replace outgoing Pat Rogensack, Justice Pat Rogensack, not seeking another 10-year term to the state's highest court. And WisPolitics held a forum for the four candidates vying to replace her. And you were there, Will. You were at the forum. What were your thoughts and kind of takeaways from that event?
Well, first of all, I stood out, to put it mildly, because I was there in jeans and a t-shirt, and the vast majority of the lawyers and affiliated media, you know, everybody's dressed to impress. Lawyers are not exactly known for dressing down in any situation applicable. But turnout was pretty good. I mean, there was a lot of people there, a lot of interested parties there. I was a little disappointed in the sense that a number of the candidates, you can guess which two in particular, avoided many of the direct questions that was asked. I mean, Jennifer Doro just read out of a binder for quite literally every answer she had. I'll at least give props to Dan Kelly that he had his talking points memorized.
So you're saying the Federalist Society kind of just typed up some memos for her, and you think that's what she was reading from, or just she needed the script to refer to?
A little bit of both, likely. I mean, part of public speaking, especially when you want to be real, when you want to come across as an individual who knows what they're talking about, is being present. You're glancing around the audience. You're having a conversation with them more than just talking down to them. And she was, you know, it's hard to see unless you're watching us on Facebook, but glancing down.
We are live right now on the Devil Radio 92.7 FM Facebook page. So if you want to live stream the show, you can get the visual that Will is providing there of the up and down glances. But we'll also describe it to you for those folks listening on the standard format of radio, or maybe a little bit later from this afternoon on the podcast version of the show.
And just wanted to give a shout out to the visual learners in case they needed a direct example. But you can check out the forum itself on WisPolitics website, I believe. I rewatched it actually a few days ago just to make sure that what I heard live was what was presented, and I wasn't, you know, kind of hitting it with my own biases, because bias was something that came up throughout the forum from all four candidates. A number of questions were based on are you able to keep your personal opinions at the door when you're sitting on the bench? Judicial matters should not be decided based on your personal opinions. And I have to say, surprisingly, of course, that Everett and Janet were the only two candidates on the dais that really answered questions posed to them from a judicial perspective. Dan Kelly is a pretty strict constitutionalist. And again, I'll give him props that he stuck to his guns. Every answer he had was, does the Constitution say we should do it? If so, yes, our job is not to legislate. Our job is to, interpret the laws. Judicate. But yeah. To me, it's a real chicken or egg situation, especially when rigged maps came up and Janet and Everett, Janet now answered first in this question, so she was able to be a little more forceful with it, said, yes, the maps are rigged and rigged maps have this effect on us. Everett made an excellent point that particularly communities of color have been disenfranchised by these maps time and time and time again. And as a member of a minority community, he has witnessed how that can impact the lives of an average Wisconsin voter, how you're less likely to get involved in the system if you know that the system is purposely trying to keep your voice down. And so for me, it really is a chicken or egg situation, in the sense that while you don't want Supreme Court justices legislating based on their personal belief, maps that are inherently rigged, where the representatives are able to choose their voters rather than the voters choosing the representatives, cannot allow for the legislative side of things to accurately reflect the will of the Wisconsin voters.
Yeah, and Brian learned yesterday on the show that Dan Kelly's one to wear a cape. Any chance that you can provide an update of whether or not former Justice Dan Kelly was wearing a cape on Monday? I know you were a little.
He did not have a cape on. He did not have a cape. I was in like the sixth or seventh row, so I had a pretty good view. I think I would have noticed if he had a cape. He did not.
Okay.
But there was an interesting.
He took it off backstage potentially if he was wearing.
Yeah.
It was an outdoor.
Oh, and then it was threw it back on so that he could, Naruto run out of the arena on his way out. But there was a bit of a fun moment towards the end where the question was posed, which founding father is your favorite? And I'm not one to sit and giggle at those type of questions, because that doesn't mean anything to me. I want something pertinent to what we're discussing. But Kelly had the first answer. Oh, my little Albert is barking in the background.
It's all good. We know how it is sometimes.
And so Dan answered Alexander Hamilton, and Everett was like, come on, man, immediately, because that was the answer that he wanted to have. And I couldn't help but think that I don't know if Dan's just a fan of musicals or if he was going to come out there and start rapping like Hakeem Jeffries. But a lot of the forum concept didn't allow. It's not a debate, right?
Right.
You're
asking a question. You don't get a whole lot of interaction between the different candidates. You kind of, or you're posed the question, you're expected to answer it, and it moves on to the next candidate, and they get
and
to,
you move on.
Yeah,
exactly. And I really hope that they're able to get some kind of organized debate that all four candidates show up to. Because as of right now, there is no event that is slated to have all four. There are a couple events with, one, two, three of them, but nothing where all four have agreed to be on the stage together at the same time. And boy, I would love to see a debate to allow them the opportunity to kind of go back at each other for some of the more outlandish responses that they had.
Yeah, hopefully there's something in the works, but less than 6 weeks away now for that primary that will decide which two of those four candidates will go on to face off in the spring general election on April 4th later this year. And that's really great insight, Will. I really appreciate you being able to share your firsthand account from the event on Monday. It's going to be an interesting race to see where these, because again, it's split kind of evenly with the two candidates from each side of the ideological spectrum for the way the judicial candidates get judged. It's a nonpartisan race, but effectively there are two liberal or Democratic leaning candidates, and there's two conservative or Republican leaning candidates, and a lot is riding on this race. The ideological makeup of the race will be determined with who replaces outgoing Justice Rogensack, in April.
Who gave an endorsement immediately following the forum, by the way.
Yeah, she endorsed Waukesha Judge Jennifer Doerrle and found it pretty interesting. She actually spent, three, 4 years on the bench with Dan Kelly and that time as colleagues. Rogan Sack said, we're going to go with the other conservative choice in the race.
He comes off as so smug. I don't like to take personal shots on people. I like to base it on
their body of work,
substance that they provide. But and again, it goes back to what I mentioned at the beginning, that I personally love the fact that he had his talking points memorized because it comes off as more professional. But I can see as well how someone would see someone just kind of laying back, tapping the counter, giving their tidbits here and there, how that would come off as a little smug or something along those lines. Now, you mentioned obviously the importance of the race. Something that I want to point out is the amount of money in these campaigns already and the vast, vast difference between the four candidates. There was a JS Online article from Corey Hess a few days ago discussing the Monday forum, and it mentions, I want to try to get the raw numbers for you here.
It's a lot of money is already like
a lot of money, but it's very focused on one candidate. Doesn't go across all alleys. So right now, Doerrle has not, obviously she has raised money, but she has not reported any campaign cash as she only entered the race in November. So we don't know what her treasury may look like, but Dan Kelly, who entered the race last September, has $16,500 in his campaign account. Judge Everett Mitchell, who declared his candidacy last June, has $27,700. And Judge Janet Protasiewicz has $920,000.
Now, that's to say for the individual campaign accounts. Wow. There's going to be a lot of outside spending too, and our friends over at Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, friend of the show Matt Rothschild, is already saying that this may be the highest outside spending race that we'll see for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, chance to set records there. So outside spending along with the candidate spending is going to be off the charts, it's anticipated, this cycle. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined by William Walter on this Wednesday afternoon. If you want to join the show, share a tangent, 844-967-2789. We're going to jump to some more tangents coming up when we get back. Put your hands up, keep your head. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents, joined on this Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. I'm Luke Mathers. You can join us as well. Share a tangent, 844-967-2789. You're listening across the state of Wisconsin on wherever your closest civic media radio station is to you. If you want to learn more about the Civic Media Radio Network, check out the website, civicmedia.us. And this is going to be a record-setting year. 2023 is going to be a lot of fun with civic media, and we're kicking off the year with some exciting news. So the network is still growing, but our network of radio stations is doing something big to celebrate the start of 2023 with $1 million advertising giveaway. You're gonna want to save the date, folks. If you are a small business owner or you work with small businesses, you're gonna want to learn more about Thursday, January 26th, you'll be able to fill out an application for a piece of our giveaway and your chance to work with the Civic Media sales team to create radio advertising campaign promoting your business across the network for free. The $1 million advertising giveaway starts at 9 a.m. only on Thursday, January 26th. To find out more, you can check out the social media accounts for Civic Media on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you're going to want to make sure, 9 a.m. on Thursday, January 26th, to head over to civicmedia.us/million, where you will be able to sign up to learn more and enter yourself in for a piece of the $1 million advertising giveaway we're doing across Civic Media. It's really exciting, Will. I'm looking forward to this. We are still in a growing phase, but we're excited to let the state of Wisconsin learn more. If you are going to sign up at the website to learn more and qualify for a portion of the $1 million advertising giveaway, make sure you let them know Dueling Tangents sent you. You can click the link there, Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. That will let everybody here at the network know that you heard about the giveaway during this fine program, which you can check every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. But Will, we've got some other...
You sent me on a roller coaster there, Luke. You were like, oh, it's going to be a big 2023. I'm excited. I'm like, hold up. Like, are you living in the same United States that I am? And then you were like, for civic media. And I was like, oh, okay, you got me back. I agree.
No, it's a fascinating time right now with what we're doing with this network, Will. And you're a part of it by joining us here on the airwaves. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your Wednesday afternoon.
So important to have people like Dueling Tangents and Civic Media to be able to really give information to Wisconsinites and the American public that you're not going to hear from the billionaire class of the, you know, quote unquote, mainstream media.
Yeah, that liberal leaning mainstream media that kind of takes more of a corporatist view of things rather than, say, a traditionally, you know, progressive minded focus on these news stories. And one of the things that I know that you're pretty fired up about, and that is back for the first time in almost 100 years, not quite 100 years, but there is a socialist caucus in the Wisconsin legislature for the first time since the 1930s. What are your thoughts on this? We've got some socialism back here from the state representatives for the Milwaukee area.
Well, Wisconsin and Milwaukee in particular has a rich, rich history of socialism. Multiple socialist mayors in the 20th century, three total, I believe. And like you mentioned, the sewer socialist movement. Now, Darren Madison and Ryan Clancy will be in the state assembly. And
they got sworn in last week. Not they're going to be. They're in it.
They're in it. Yeah, that's true. We're not the U.S. House. We were able to get everybody sworn in on time efficiently. But... you know, jumping off of the judicial tangent, letting your biases get in the way. I know both of these individuals personally, and I could not be more proud of the two human beings that will be stepping into the assembly. Now, there are so many politicians who are career reps. They're career politicians whose only goal is to rubber stamp whatever they're told by their bosses and higher ups in their party, and then hopefully move on to the next more important office. And these are two people who really put their money where their mouth is. They are out on the streets with people, you know, with the protests over in 2020 when the George Floyd protests came up. Mm-hmm. For example, I ran into Ryan and Darren at every single event I was down in at the city. And I know for a fact that they were at every event every day because they were covering it on social media, posting, this is what we're seeing here. This is why I'm here. This is why it's important. They do such a good job of kind of elaborating on the importance of community solidarity and why these events, why it matters that they're at these events, so that people who feel that this is an important issue, that feel like the system have kind of abandoned them or left them for dead or don't care about whatever XYZ problem that I'm facing in my life. Well, now you have two elected officials who do care. And they not only do they care, but they care enough to be there with you and stand there in solidarity telling you, hey, I agree this is important and I'm going to fight for you. Darren had an excellent quote in the Nation article by John Nichols the other day. Front and center, right off the bat, we wanted to make sure that we were uplifting bolder ideas and solutions. That's something the Democratic Socialists have always done in Wisconsin. And they have. I think Democratic Socialism in particular gets a bad rap because of the boogie word, right? Socialism. It's a scare tactic word tossed around on right-wing media and some of the more corporate left-leaning media that essentially tricks people into thinking, oh, they're going to come and take what we've worked hard for and redistribute it, when that's not at all what a lot of these elected officials and supporters agree.
It's making sure the government provides programs that are available to all and making sure
strong social safety net. Yes. Exactly.
And it's going to be very interesting to see. And sewer socialism, kind of that tongue in cheek, like it's supposed to be fun. But the city of Milwaukee was thriving under those mayors. Like the fact that we have the public lands that we have in Milwaukee, the Summerfest grounds being there, like all of the different aspects of it. Good things for the city of Milwaukee, and it's very fun. Like you said, there's an entire piece written up about socialism returning to the state legislature. written up by John Nichols over at The Nation magazine. Check it out if you haven't had a chance yet. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. William Walter joining me, Luke Mathers, on this Wednesday afternoon. We're going to continue jumping to the headlines, but plenty of time for your phone calls. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You can also follow the show at Dueling Tangents on Twitter. You can follow Civic Media there as well, at Civic Media US. Got a couple more segments coming up in the day. We'll be right back.
Alicia on the radio. We are the nowhere generation. We are the kids that no one wants. We are a credible threat to the rules you set across the being alarmed. We are not the names that we've been given. We speak a language you don't know. We are the nowhere generation.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers, joined by William Walter on this Wednesday afternoon. This is a all-time favorite Rise Against song for me, so I'm going to let that one kind of ring out a little bit when that gets started. But I think it's an excellent song for this next portion of the conversation here on the show, Will, because you shared with me kind of in preparation for saying, hey, what do you want to talk about today? We've got a plethora of different news stories we can wade through. Where do we want to go? And you shared with me something you've been seeing shared around on social media and saying, kind of joking about it, that this is what conservative individuals online, some Republican elected officials, were crapping
about. Our own Robin Voss.
Robin Voss shared it? Oh, that you know it's in the mainstream of those elected Republican officials then, because Robin Voss, he's gotten no problems, you know, limiting who can comment on his social media posts, but then also going and liking and favoriting and that kind of nature on social media of these posts that are pretty whiny, I think. Robin Voss's social media presence is, if I had to sum it up in one word, it would be whiny. For the strongest elected official in the Republican Party here in Wisconsin, very whiny online social media presence. The instance that we're going to use is a tweet sent out by former Governor Nikki Haley with a poll result that's sharing the percentage of each generation proud to live in the USA. They're framing this as the biggest problem facing the nation right now, Will.
This is the biggest threat we face. National self-loathing is sweeping across America, worse than any pandemic by far, because, you know, the pandemic hasn't killed millions of Americans or anything. And sadly, we see it at every level of the Democrat Party, all the way to the White House. Even on our worst days, we are blessed to live in America. Nikki Haley.
And she shares out a screenshot of a poll result from Morning Consults this month, January 2023. And the question is, percentage of each generation proud to live in the USA? Baby boomers, 73%. Generation X, 54%. Millennials, 36%. And Gen Z, 16%. So a staggering decline across those generational divides.
I love Gen Z. They're based. They're excellent. Gen Z just doesn't care anymore. They're like, we've had enough of this. We're sick of the propaganda. You've been telling us our entire lives that America is the greatest thing since sliced bread. We're perfect. We're infallible. And there's a big difference between being grateful to be an American, recognizing that we do have it better than a lot of places in the world. But we're not proud of the way that our elected officials have kind of twisted this country into something that isn't reflective of the majority of our people. We could be the greatest country in the world, but a nation that, let's face it, America is probably the wealthiest nation in the history of human species.
Yeah.
And
without a doubt,
we don't have healthcare. We don't have some of the most basic measures of protection that other first world nations have been offering their citizens for decades. We don't have it here because we're run by the almighty dollar. Nothing more, nothing less.
And it's very interesting because I have a feeling this is going to be kind of a recurring theme of 2023. Republicans aren't going to get anything done now that they have control of one of the houses of Congress, the House of Representatives. They're gonna gum up the works. They're gonna slow things down. They're gonna be obstructionists, and there's going to be members of the Republican Party outside of the House of Representatives that are going to find ways to wage the culture war. It's how they get engagement. It is how they get people riled up and they believe to the polls. And this is what we're going to see a lot of in 2023. It's early, but my prediction is we're going to see a lot of things like this, where you've got Republican officials, former governor of North Carolina, South Carolina,
as well as I believe she was the ambassador to the UN.
Yes, during the Trump administration, before she, I think she left before the insurrection. It didn't take an insurrection for her to leave the administration, but acting like this is the greatest problem that we face. That when you get elected,
it's manufactured
to government,
outrage, Luke, right. Top to bottom, manufactured outrage.
When you are elected official in government and say that government can't solve any of these problems, so therefore we don't have the services that other nations have, and then say that young people aren't grateful, proud.
We're not patriotic.
It is manufactured outrage. It is what it is. Exactly what you pointed out. And to act like this is a problem, rather than like the direct threats of democracy that Republican elected officials are having, the downplaying of the insurrection on January 6, 2021, the lack of accountability that has been there for individuals that attempted to overturn the peaceful transfer of power by circumventing voters and saying, no, in Wisconsin, Joe Biden didn't win the state's 10 electoral votes. Donald Trump did. And we don't really have any basis to do it. We're just doing this in case we have some legal standing coming up that we can, you know, do this jurisprudence and run around and try to get the right court in their minds to accept these 10 fraudulent electors rather than the official electors that had voted for Joe Biden because he won the state.
We got to hear Dan Kelly's thoughts on this then, because he doesn't want policy impacting the way you rule judicially, except, of course, if it benefits myself, my party, my friends.
I have a feeling that Dan Kelly would have been in that same group of three that outgoing Justice Pat Rogensack was a part of, saying, oh, no, we'll take up that case. We'll take up that case. We'll flip those votes. But a conservative-leaning member, Brian Hagedorn, Justice Brian Hagedorn of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, said, no, that's not how the law works. And so, yes, even though I do not agree with him on a lot of his judicial philosophy, he was independent in that case and did not allow the overturning without any legal grounds of the state's 10 electoral votes. But somebody that did, that's still advocating and doing a lot of malfeasance here in Wisconsin, Robert Spindell, one of the 10 fraudulent electors, Will. And he's kind of an interesting case study of the 10 fraudulent electors. Yes, one of the 10 did get a job on Ron Johnson, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's reelection campaign last year. So she did all right. But Robert Spindell continues to serve on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, appointed there by State Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, appointed Spindell to this commission. And even though Robert Spindell was one of those 10 fraudulent electors that groups were petitioning the Wisconsin Elections Commission to take a look into, Spindell didn't recuse himself from voting on that six-member board, three Republican appointees, three Democratic appointees. And Bob Spindell gridlocked that commission from being able to investigate the 10 fraudulent electors, even though he himself was one of those 10 fraudulent electors. And putting even that story aside, that craziness aside, that is Robert Spindell being able to vote on whether or not he himself would be investigated by the commission that he sits on into the fraudulent activity that he did to try to overturn a free and fair election in 2020.
It reminds me of when police departments are allowed to inspect whether or not something that they did was bad or illegal, and they, every single time it happens, they come back and say, like, nope, we followed the letter of the law. Crazy how it works. All right, let's move on.
Well, this is all me summarizing the craziness that occurred in the 2020 election cycle. Now Robert Spindell, the zero accountability, had for his involvement in that scheme to overturn the peaceful transfer of power, to fraudulently sign documents saying that Donald Trump won the state's 10 electoral votes, even though he did not, and send those to Congress to be attempted to swap out U.S. Senator Ron Johnson being the mule to deliver those 10 fraudulent electors for here in Wisconsin, and also the fraudulent elector slate from Michigan. Still haven't had any accountability for that. Ron Johnson's got reelected to another 6-year term, despite the revelations of his involvement in that scheme. But this is all the 2020 lack of accountability that we did not receive. Leads to today's story of Robert Spindell's comments surfacing on how proud he was of Republican efforts in 2022 to suppress minority voters in the Milwaukee area. And Will, this is pretty staggering. That
this quote is grotesque, Luke. I cannot believe that anybody could, like, behind closed doors, yes, a lot of these people have no problem being overtly racist and saying just insane, ridiculous things. But the fact that this statement was released publicly, now he didn't release it publicly. I believe it was an email he sent to
an email got public, and we're reading from a piece now over at Urban Milwaukee, written up by Bruce Murphy. GOP leader thrilled to suppress city votes. Republican ads targeted Black and Hispanic voters to discourage voting. Did they work? Is the subline to Bruce Murphy's piece at Urban Milwaukee. And you alluded to it, but let's share the quote with the people, Will.
In the city of Milwaukee, with the 4th Congressional District, Republican Party working very closely with the RPW, RNC, Republican Assembly and Senate campaign committees, statewide campaigns, and RPMC in the Black and Hispanic areas, we can be especially proud of the city of Milwaukee, 80.2% Dem vote, casting 37,000 less votes than cast in the 2018 election, with the major reduction happening in the overwhelming Black and Hispanic areas. This great and important decrease in Democratic votes in the city was due to a well-thought-out, multifaceted plan.
Spindell bragged that.
Ew.
That is disgusting.
That's bullhorn type point. Like, they're no longer saying, it's not, hey, you know, let's not say the quiet part out loud. Like, they're just coming out and saying it.
No, they're typing up the quiet part, and they're celebrating it and sharing it around in an email after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is who Bob Spindell is. This is who Robert Spindell is. This is the individual that the Republican head of the state Senate appointed to the Wisconsin Elections Commission to oversee the electoral process in Wisconsin. This is who Republicans want as one of their 3 appointees to that board. It is baffling to me, Will, that the Republican Party tried to say that there was malfeasance in the way that the 2020 election was conducted, saying that, oh, well, the 5 biggest cities in Wisconsin, because they received Zuckerberg dollar grants.
Zuckerbucks.
as former State Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman liked to refer to them as. The incessant belief that there was Democratic collusion with the way that the 2020 election was conducted, and then the same guy that will not recuse himself to be looked into for the malfeasance that he did for the 2020 election to be a part of a fraudulent elector scheme to overturn Wisconsin's votes is now bragging about the coordinated effort that the Republican Party of Wisconsin, the RNC, the Republican National Committee, the campaign committees for the state assembly and state Senate targeted Milwaukee to disenfranchise voters, to clamp down on the voting process in minority communities. It is disgusting, and it is hypocrisy. And it needs
projection,
to be talked
it's
about.
Projection.
It is absolutely.
They turn around
projection.
And talk about vote harvesting while they're actively suppressing the vote. Rather than earning the vote of people, they'd rather cancel them out.
They ran ads. Not trying to get them to say, hey, the Republican Party has these good ideas. You should go vote for Republicans. They ran ads saying, don't vote, essentially. It boils down to, what's the point? what's the point in voting? And it is disgusting, and it absolutely needs to be talked about more. I want to thank Matt Rothschild for sending me this story, because it is disgusting.
Boy, aren't you proud to live in the United States, Luke? I wonder why young people are loving it here with these kind of stories coming public.
Weird, Will, why anybody would think this isn't the greatest country. Why they wouldn't be proud in a poll for millennials and Gen Z. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined by William Walter on this Wednesday afternoon. We got one more segment coming up in the day. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. Joined this Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. You can join us on the airwaves as well. Call or text 844-967-2789. I'm Luke Mathers. And if you want to learn more about what Civic Media is up to, check out our website and make sure to set a reminder. If you're a small business here in Wisconsin, want to find out about the $1 million advertising giveaway that's going down on Thursday, January 26th, set yourself a reminder. civicmedia.us/million. That's civicmedia.us, the website, /million. You'll be able to find out more. There are some rules and regulations that apply, so make sure you check out the details. But giving away $1 million of radio advertising to kick off 2023. Will, back to the conversation about some Republican malfeasance going on here in the state of Wisconsin. If you think Bob Spindell is an outlier, I hate to break it to you. He's not.
He's not an outlier.
He is not an outlier.
It's systemic. The problems are systemic, you're telling me?
Bob Spindell is very on brand for Republicans. He says one thing and then does the other. It's very frustrating. They live one way and they do not practice what they preach, I guess is the simplest way I can put it. And we also saw this indicative with Fred Prehn finally resigning from the Natural Resources Board at the end of last year, kind of did it right before the holiday news dump. So he kind of eked out, oh yeah, yeah, I'm going to finally step down from this post after sitting on a seat that's term vacated 20 months before his resignation.
It's the Francis Wilhoit quote, Luke. Every time, conservatism consists of exactly one proposition, to wit: there must be in-groups whom the law protects but does not bind, alongside out-groups whom the law binds but does not protect.
Yeah, that is an excellent way to bring it up. But we've also got, you touched on an aspect that I think is going to be really important this segment, is projection. Last segment, you mentioned it was projection for Bob Spindell, and that may be right. But where we're also seeing some projection is in Wisconsin Dells, the end of last year. And it's kind of an interesting story, and Brian and I wanted to get to it earlier in the week, but we were covering other tangents up until now. So I can't wait to discuss it with you here on the airwaves. And it's a piece written up over at the Wisconsin Examiner by Baylor Spears. The headline, Conservative UW-Madison Center Holds Symposium for School Board Members. And essentially, it's a very well-written up piece. It's a little lengthy. It's not necessarily the quickest read, but it's a very important read, Will, because the University of Wisconsin's Center for the Study of Liberal Democracy, kind of got a lot of nice words in there, right? Is being
touched on all of them.
The interim director for that center is Ryan Owens. And if the name Ryan Owens sounds familiar to you, it's because he's a UW professor that, for a brief moment in time, ran for attorney general in the Republican primary this last cycle. He had some controversy around things that he said negatively about Donald Trump and some podcasts, and then those podcasts were disappeared, and then they got reposted and kind of quietly just dropped out of the race. Eric Toney became the Republican nominee and lost to incumbent Josh Call back in November. But if the name Ryan Owens sounds familiar to you, that's why. And Owens is overseeing this center here at UW-Madison, known for being a more progressive area. And this entire center decided to host, in concert with the Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism, or better known as FAIR, apparently, they held a symposium at the Wisconsin Dells, Will, for conservative-minded school board members, giving the talking point. It hosted as just a parental freedom and small government approach to these buzzwords that conservatives use to try to identify themselves to other conservatives. And they said that they were there for anybody. Anybody could come and talk at the symposium. But we find out that most of the speakers and individuals that participated and given lectures and talks at this symposium were from conservative organizations like the Charles Koch Foundation, the Lynn and Harry Bradley Foundation, better known as the Bradley Foundation, just in short, that backed these super conservative causes. And so they had this school board symposium and didn't really invite anybody else. They wanted to have the various strands of conservative political thought and libertarian thought on school campuses. And
hey now, Luke, if you happened to coincidentally be at Great Wolf Lodge at the time, you could have walked in. It's not our responsibility to go and reach out to other people. Like, they could have showed up and waltzed in, and we would have had no issue.
But they talk about like a fair debate, and then they didn't invite any other perspective to discuss these issues. It was just right wing all the way, and yeah, we're for fair and open debate. You criticize us, we're gonna get upset. Interesting point here from Heather Dubois Borain. I may be butchering her last name, and I apologize, Heather. Director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network said she was frustrated to see a UW-Madison center sponsoring an event with such a clear ideological lean, while the Center for the Study of Liberal Democracy may be seen as a small outpost of conservative thought in the left-leaning academy. Quote, in order for academic events to have any kind of credibility, they need to have balance and demonstrate legitimate authority on the topic at hand. There's no attempt at neutrality or expertise in the event at all. Bourdain said the agenda reads like political theater. So trying to strike that independent lean and didn't invite any independent thinkers, just the far right backed money groups. And it's pretty interesting that they got to insulate themselves in their bubble. Will
Baylor posts out as points out as well in the article that press was not permitted inside the sessions, including discussions about the First Amendment and transparency, and that our friend Ryan Owens was also quite unenthusiastic about his Wisconsin Examiner, about the Wisconsin Examiner reporters interviewing attendees in the hallway outside.
Interesting. So not too thrilled, didn't have the press in the event, not too thrilled the press was outside the event. Wonder what they're talking about behind those closed doors, Will. What's so bad that you can't have it debated in public discourse? What's going on?
What happened to the marketplace of ideas, Luke? I thought that's what all of this was predicated on.
Free speech, just hidden from consequences. That's the kind of free speech that they want. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers and William Walter on this fine Wednesday afternoon. Will, really appreciate you joining me to discuss these tangents and the excellent headlines before us. Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow, 2 p.m. We're going to be joined by Alan Robinson, owner of the Herbal Aspect, giving us a little update about the potential for legal medicinal marijuana coming up in Wisconsin. So you're going to want to tune in for that conversation tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. We'll talk to you all tomorrow at 2.
Take it easy, party people.